God laid it on my heart to do something a little bit different during the sermon, so I'm going to come back among you every once in a while and grab a couple of my friends, and I want to lead us in prayer from back here. I want you to know I care about you, I depend upon your prayers, and I want us to pray together. So please join me. If you want to take somebody's hand by you, that's fine. If you don't want to do that, that's fine. You don't want to pass any cooties, you know, so but let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as I bow here among your people, today we want to thank you, first of all, that we're going to have a lady baptized in our next service. We ask your blessing to fall upon her and thank you for her profession of faith and her commitment to you. We also see some beautiful flowers up on the Lord's Supper table today, and we remember the Vega family and others that have lost a little child. And I pray, Father, that you will increase that family's faith and other families that have lost a little one to have hope that they will see them again and remind us of how to care tenderly for one another. And, Father, then I pray just for us during this service and as I try to preach the Word of God to these your people, my brothers and sisters, I pray, Father, you'll visit us, that you'll help me to be a servant that will speak clearly and lovingly and boldly from your word. And I thank you for my friends that gather around me. But Father, I pray that if there's a heart here that needs to be brought closer to you, that you'll do that today. I pray that you'll challenge us and stretch us, form us into the kind of people you want us to be for you, and use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you all. Now we've been studying through the Gospel of Matthew. This week, you should have read chapter 16 through 22. I'm going to preach to you from Matthew chapter 20 today. So if you've got your Bibles, please turn to Matthew chapter 20. We're going to talk about open your eyes and follow Jesus. At the end of this service, we're going to have some of our pastors here that will receive you if you'd like to come and pray. I'm going to ask that some of our ladies, if you see a lady come down for prayer that's by herself, please come and just come alongside of her if you'd like. All you have to do is just stand by there or sit by her and just pray for her. You don't necessarily have to ask her anything or say anything. And some of our deacons may want to come down if they see some people needing prayer. Now, I'm going to read to you, like I said, from Matthew chapter 20. This is a story about two blind men that were healed. But the same story is also in the Gospel of Mark and in the Gospel of Luke. There are a few little changes. Like, for example, Matthew says it was two men. Mark and Luke highlight only one of those men. They tell us that he is a beggar, and Mark tells us the name of the man. They say his name, or Mark says his name is Bartimaeus. Now, Bartimaeus may have been the spokesman of the two blind men, or he may have followed Christ close enough that he became part of the church later on, and Matthew would have known his name. But somehow, the three gospel writers tell the same story, just with a couple of little details that might not be different, but they fill out the story a little bit. This is what I hope we'll see today as we study this passage, that in desperate situations, both faith and commitment are required to see God act. In desperate situations, both faith and commitment are required to see God act. And we're going to learn a little bit about prayer, too. So let's read together Matthew chapter 20. If you're going to use the pew Bible that's there in the rack, it's on page 906. It's right in the center at the bottom where we'll be reading. As they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. There were two blind men sitting by the road. When they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." The crowd told them to keep quiet, but they cried out all the more, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." Jesus stopped, called them, and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord," they said to him, "open our eyes." Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes. Immediately they could see, and they followed him. A pilot flew tours in his plane over the Grand Canyon, and on one occasion he had three passengers with him for the tour. It was a Boy Scout, a pastor, and just so happened the recently named smartest man in the world. As they were flying over the Grand Canyon, the pilot realized the plane was having trouble, having difficulty, and probably was going to crash. So he went back to his pastor and said, I've only got three parachutes. I'm taking one because I was just married. I want to live, and so I'm jumping out of here. So the pilot takes that parachute, straps it on, and jumps out of the plane. And as he's jumping out, he says, you'll have to fight over the other two. Well, the smartest man in the world immediately stands up and says, I am too valuable to the world. He grabs a parachute, and he jumps out. Well, the pastor, being a compassionate man, looks at the Boy Scout and says, son, I've lived a good life. God has blessed me. He's promised me to go to heaven. So you take the other parachute and save your life. But the Boy Scout looked at the pastor and said, we can both go, pastor, because the smartest man in the world just jumped out with my backpack. That reminds us, it is not enough just to have faith. You must have faith in the right thing. And you must place your faith in that person or that object that is worthy of your trust. Now, Matthew has, up until this point that we have been reading, trying to encourage his Jewish readers to believe that Jesus is the Messiah that they have longed for and they have waited for. So here's the question I want to ask today that hopefully we'll be able to answer from God's Word, and that is this. How can you and I have confidence in trusting in Jesus? Now, this sermon has 6 points, so it'll take us about 2.5 hours, so hang on, here we go. The first one is this. If you are going to have confidence in trusting in Jesus, the first thing is you must admit you have a problem. The Bible tells us that near Jericho, Jesus encountered a blind man that was sitting by the roadside and he was begging. Did that blind man have a problem? Well, number one, he was blind. Number two, he was begging. Number three, dependent on others. And number four, he could have had a multitude of other problems. But he had to admit that he had a problem if he was going to see God act through Jesus Christ. Now, the man's name was Bartimaeus. He was living in a big, bustling city. Picture with me what Jericho would have been like in the day of Jesus. It was one of the largest, the biggest, the greatest cities that was around during that time. The name of Jericho means moon. It is not the sun, but it is the moon. It is that highly regarded by the people that they call it Jericho. It is, as far as we know, the oldest city on record in the world. It was probably begun about 10,000 years before Jesus came on the scene. The Bible says in Genesis 10:13 these words, it was well watered everywhere, just like the Lord's garden. This town, this city, Jericho, was like the Garden of Eden, like the Lord's garden. It was a beautiful place. Rich soil, constant water flow from a spring in the city, and abundant sunshine. It was a place where kings liked to go and to relax and rest and recreate. It was called the City of Palms because it was so beautiful. Jericho was an oasis near the desert and a beautiful place. It was known for its balm, an aromatic gum that had medicinal qualities, and people would go to Jericho and stay in the springs and also use this balm to soothe their hurts. It was an attractive place for settlement, and it was a very wealthy city. I tell you all that because in the midst of that city, we find a blind man that is begging. He should not have had a problem. He was blind. He was a beggar. He could not work. He could not provide for his own needs. But in the midst of a city where everything was provided, a gorgeous place, a bustling place, he should have not had any need. I am reminded of that every time that we go down to Memphis Union Mission. I am amazed that in the city of Memphis, there are that many people who are living at a poverty level and below. That many people, that many men and women who are on the streets and are homeless. In Memphis, people should not have a problem. There is so much richness and abundance of luxury in the city. Why do we see people who are still desperate in their conditions? But I want to ask you this, in the midst of Olive Branch, Mississippi, where everything is wonderful, a great place to live and raise kids and send them to school and visit with your friends and go places to eat, and we have a Chick-fil-A, hallelujah. Okay. What is your problem? Think about it for a moment. I told you at the beginning, you will not see God act until you are able to admit you have a problem. And in our church, when we gather together as great Christian people, faithful through the years, trusting after God, do some of you still have a problem where you need to see God act? I'm not saying that you're second class. I'm not saying there's necessarily anything wrong with you. I'm just saying, would you admit, even at this point in your life, you have a problem and you need to see Jesus bring you an answer? Because if you would admit that, we might be able to see God act even in this place. If you're in the midst of great provisions, you still have a need. Now, I don't want to ask you, when I say, what is your problem? I'm not saying, what's the cause of your problem? Not who is at fault, not who is it that you want to blame for your problems, but exactly what is your problem? Can you admit it and tell God what it is? What are you facing today that, like that blind man, is more than you can handle? If anybody's got extra oxygen, would you bring that up here? I'm about ready to need that. Are you lonely? Are you hungry? Are you needy? Are you new to the church? Are you unknown to the people around you and at your workplace or in your neighborhood? Are you overlooked by people who should be paying attention to you? Are you disabled? Are you victimized? Are you in trouble? Are you homeless? Are you without purpose? Do you need direction in your life? Are you facing an illness? Do you have relational struggles? Do you have financial difficulties? Is debt overwhelming you? What is the problem that you need to admit so that you can see Jesus act? If you do not admit your need, you will be unable to access the power of Jesus. Number two, understand that Jesus can help you. The blind man somehow discovered in the crowd that it included Jesus of Nazareth. Now let me kind of picture it for you. I'm a blind man sitting by the side of the road. I cannot see what is happening, but my hearing is very sensitive. And I start to hear more footsteps. I start to hear a rumbling that I don't usually hear. I'm thinking, man, my cup for alms could be overflowing today with all this crowd. If I'll hold it out just far enough, maybe someone will have pity on me and give me the alms that I need. And I hear the ground rumbling and a little bit more vibration in the soil. And I'm thinking, this is going to be a great day, a payday that I've needed. And then all of a sudden, I start to hear people get close enough that I hear what they're saying. I hear some talking. And really, it sounds like there's just one man and really doing the talking. And then all of a sudden, people start to tell me, don't you know who that is? Don't you know who is coming? It's Jesus of Nazareth. You see, he heard the noise, but it could have been anyone. It could have been anything that was in the crowd. But he wanted to get in on it. He had a need. He had a desperation. There was something that was driving him. He had his own aspirations and goals in the matter that were about to change. But he thought, something's about to happen, and I want to be a part of it. He thought to himself, well, am I in the right place? Am I close enough to where the crowd's going to be? Did my friends place me in the exact spot where I would have most access to the people as they go by? What am I missing? What is going on that I cannot see and cannot be a part of? He did not know that Jesus was around, but he opened up his ears and he listened. And when he did, he began to hear that Jesus of Nazareth was in the crowd. Do you know, like the blind man, that Jesus can help you? Have you been in church for so long, or are you new to church and you have not yet realized that Jesus did not just come to save you and take you to heaven? Can I get an amen that you realize Jesus didn't just come to save you? There is something more he wants to give you, and it's called the abundant life. There is something more he wants to do through you to touch other people's lives. Understand that Jesus can help you. Now, if you want to stay in your need, that's your choice. If you like where you are and you like your miserable condition and you like your loneliness and you like feeling sorry for yourself, then have at it. Enjoy it. But you should know this. Jesus is passing by. Hello? Jesus can help you. Point number three. I told you it'd be 2.5 hours. Point number three is this. Call out to Jesus. Now, in all of the three Gospels, all three of them have the same element that I'm going to share with you. That when Jesus came by and the blind man, Bartimaeus, or the blind men, if there were two of them, gathered together, when Jesus came by and they knew it, they cried out these words, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now the people in the crowd told them, "Don't you know who's coming by? It's the rabbi, it's Jesus of Nazareth." But that is not what Bartimaeus called him. He didn't cry out, "Jesus of Nazareth." He cried out, "Jesus, Son of David." Now I have taught you already up to this point, that phrase, "Son of David," means something special. It means that this blind man had hope and he had faith. He believed that Jesus was sent by God. He wasn't just a good teacher from Nazareth. He wasn't a man who just was able to heal some folks. He wasn't somebody who attacked the religious leaders and gathered a crowd. Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of David. And that meant that he was the Messiah. And the blind man had believed that. What had he heard? Had he heard Jesus' fame? Had he heard his reputation passing through the area of Palestine? Because he knew enough to call him not Jesus the rabbi from Nazareth, but Jesus, Son of David, the Messiah, the one we had longed for. He was expressing an element of faith greater than just that Jesus was a good rabbi. Now, you do not have to have eyesight to see Jesus. You do not have to have everything going for you just perfectly to see Jesus. You do not have to have life that is wonderful and vibrant to be able to see Jesus. You can see Jesus simply, despite all the other problems that may be a part of your life, you can see Jesus if you have a heart of faith. Trust that Jesus is who he says he is. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of David. He is the Messiah, the Savior, that we have longed for. Jesus in 2015 is God come to us in the flesh. He cried out for mercy. "Son of David, have mercy on me." He needed compassion. He needed action. And so I ask you today, if you will admit your need and recognize that Jesus can help you, are you willing to get over yourself, get beyond your need, come humbly and call out to Jesus and say, "Jesus, you are the one that can help me. I believe in you. I trust in you. You are God come to meet me in my need." To the best of your knowledge today, with whatever you know about Jesus, would you call out to him and say, "Help me, Lord, in my need. Desperate I come. Lord, I need mercy from you." Fourth point is this. You have to ignore the barriers. Ignore the barriers. The crowd told the blind man to be quiet, but they couldn't hush him. Picture the scene with me. They're coming through the town. They're all trying to get Jesus' attention. Just like they had heard in other places, Jesus had been healing people. I think he was on his way, the Gospel of Luke tells us, to pass by a tree where he would find a wee little man named Zacchaeus. He had a divine appointment. He was on his way. But all the people were clamoring for Jesus' attention. And in the midst of it, the blind man, Bartimaeus, was saying, "Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me." And the more they told him to be quiet, "Other people want to see Jesus. Just get over there and stay in your place." He cried out the more, "No, Son of David, have mercy on me." They said, "Hush up, you're bothering the Messiah. He's trying to teach. Son of David, have mercy on me." And the point that I get in that is, do not stop when you have a need calling out to Jesus. Do not let people or things keep you down. If you want Jesus to act, be persistent and call out to him no matter what the barriers might be. The people were on their way to the Passover feast. Can you imagine this? Sometimes the context really teaches us a lot. These people were traveling with Jesus. They are on the way to the Passover in Jerusalem. Anybody remember what's going to happen when they get there? Jesus is going to be tried and found guilty, and he's going to be sentenced to a cross and pay with his life, be buried in a tomb and rise from the dead. And the people are on their way to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. Passover is the great feast. If Albert were here, he would tell us. It is the one that people go to. It's the major feast of the Israelites because it expresses their faith in God's deliverance. And that's where they were. But at the very same time, They were trying to keep deliverance from a man who needed it. I beg of you, I do not mean to be condemning. I know sometimes people say I come across arrogantly. That is not my intention. I just want to wake us up as the church. We must never, ever get so hard-hearted that we stand in the way of others who need Christ. We cannot judge them. We cannot put them down. We can't be people who are seeking God in faith. And then when somebody who's a drug addict or a homosexual or involved in promiscuous sin or caught up in a divorce or caught up in stealing, whatever their problem may be, if they are seeking after Jesus, let us not be a barrier to them finding Jesus Christ. If you're convinced, don't give up. If you believe in Jesus, keep on asking. Don't let the world knock you down. Be convinced that your answer will come from Jesus. Don't give up and say, well, I tried, but I guess I'll go to the government now and see if they can meet my need. I'll try to do it on my own. I'll get another job, or I'll make a change in my life. I'll turn over a new leaf. I'll go get some counseling. All of those things may be a part of what your life might involve, but your answer does not come from anywhere other than the Lord. The psalmist says, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Do not forget that, even though the barriers will keep you from him. When you're told to be quiet, shout it out even louder. His persistence revealed his faith. Sometimes, I don't know everything about prayer, but sometimes God does not answer us right away because he wants to make sure that we make sure that we are certain about what we want. And some of us ask amiss. Some of us ask flippantly. Some of us ask without really considering the answer to our need. And sometimes God waits to answer us in our prayer until we are willing to shout it out and plead with him and beg him and over again say, this is what we want. We've thought it through. We've considered it. God, this is what I need. He believed that Jesus could help him and nothing would keep him from Jesus. Can you ignore the barriers that are in your life that are trying to push you to the side and keep you quiet and keep you from reaching Jesus? If you have a need, do not be put away. Come to Jesus. He will meet your need. Mark tells us that he knew this man. This man threw off his cloak. He jumped up and he ran to Jesus. You know, after this many years of ministry, sometimes I get a little perturbed with people. I'm sorry, that's my sin, all right? People know Jesus can help them. He calls out to them and say, come, I can help you. And they say, well, I'm not quite sure if I'm ready. I'm not quite sure if I want to give up certain things to come to Jesus. I might have to change my life. You know, God help me, I might have to do that. Not this blind man. When Jesus said to him, come, let him come to me. He's calling out to me, let him come. The blind man threw off his cloak, something very valuable that he needed. He jumped up. He cannot see. Blind men don't run, but he ran to Jesus because he recognized Jesus was the only one who could provide for his needs. If you are here today, stop trying to second guess God. If you have a need, Jesus will answer your need. Call out to him, trust in him, believe in him. He may not answer it the way you think he should, but he will respond and answer your need. Many things, some people will try to keep you from Jesus. Don't let anything or anyone keep you from your divine appointment. Okay, you all stop and pray a minute. I'll catch my breath. Number five, if you want to see Jesus act on your behalf, it takes faith and commitment. Number five, you've got to know what you want. Now, the words of Jesus are very clear in this passage. When he hears the blind man calling out to him, he says to him, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And the request that comes from the blind man or blind men is clear too. Lord, I want to see. Now Jesus, in Matthew's gospel, tells us that he showed the blind man mercy and compassion. Mark and Luke emphasize the blind man's faith. I think both of those things operate together. We wonder if Jesus or if God ordains us to be saved, or do we ask Jesus to save us? My friend, it's both of those. You know, we've been debating this question for centuries, and good men and good women on both sides of the question can find scripture that supports their view. I have settled on this. It doesn't make any if God calls me to be saved, or I have to give my heart to him and ask him to be saved, I am just glad that in his grace, Jesus saves me, okay? I'm not sure about all how it works, but I'm just glad the word tells me that if I call upon him, I can be saved. And that has become my trumpet call, as you know. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we can get you to call on the Lord, you will be saved. When he was called out, the blind man went. When he was asked what he wanted, he answered without hesitation. I ask you today, if you can admit your need and realize Jesus can help you and you will call out to him and overlook the barriers that try to stop you from getting to Jesus, when you recognize that God is saying to you, what is it you want? Will you stop hesitating? Will you stop being mealy-mouthed? Will you stop being wimpy about it? Tell Jesus what you need. Think about it carefully, and then tell him what is on your heart. This man had to declare his faith. Now, that seems like a silly question to me. I'm blind. I'm sitting on the road begging. I'm dependent on friends to bring me. I don't know where they put me. I'm dependent on people walking by who would care enough to give me something. That is how I provide for my needs. If I have a family, my wife is harping at me, I didn't get enough today. Look a little more pitiful, she says. So it seems like a silly question to me. What do you want? But I encounter people at Memphis Union Mission, those men there. We ask them a question when they come up for prayer. I say, well, what is it you want us to pray with you about? Because I think they need to tell us. Do you want pity? Do you just want people to feel sorry for you? Or do you want revenge? Do you want to get the upper hand for people who did you wrong or did you dirty? Do you want a meal? Do you want a bed? Do you want somebody to help you? Do you want some money? Do you want a new cloak because you lost yours? What was the answer this blind man was going to give? Jesus, I need some new salve. My eyes are hurting. Jesus, I just ran off and left my cloak, and I'm sure somebody just stole it. Could you give me a new cloak? Jesus, the mat that I kneel on every day, it's getting a little bit thread-worn. Could you provide me a new mat? Are you with me? When Jesus asks you, what do you want? Dig down deep in your heart and answer him seriously what it is you want. Do you want your problem solved, or you just want a few things of salve to soothe your aching heart? What faith do you have? What do you want Jesus to do for you? Think about it and state your request clearly without wavering. One of my favorite books over the last 20, 30 years is this book called Homesick for God by Joel Gregory. He used to be the pastor at Travis Avenue in Fort Worth, Texas. And he writes this in his book. It's one of my favorite stories. You will find that life is like a parable from another land. A blind Indian beggar sat beside a road, fingering the rice in his little bowl. Wearing only a loincloth, he sat in poverty beside a road that stretched into nowhere both ways. The scarce travelers occasionally gave him a little bit of rice. But one day he heard the thunder of a chariot in the distance, and he recognized that it was the grand entourage of the Maharaja. This was a moment that had never come before. Surely the Great One would stop and give him baskets of rice. Indeed, the golden chariot of the Maharaja stopped before the poor beggar. The Great One stepped down, and the beggar fell before him in worship. Then the sky seemed to fall in, because the Great One said to the beggar, "Give me your rice." A fearful, hateful scowl masked the face of the beggar. He reached into his bowl and he thrust one grain of rice toward the Maharaja. "Is that all?" said the Great One. And the beggar spat on the ground and cursed and threw him one more grain of rice. The Great One turned, entered his chariot, and was gone. The beggar was angry, empty, and crushed, and he fingered the remaining rice in his hoarded bowl. He felt something hard, different from the rice, and he pulled it out. It was a nugget of gold. He poured out his rice, caring nothing for it now, and he found one other nugget of gold. Had he trusted the Great One, he could have had a grain of gold for every grain of rice. And so it is with Christ. We hold on to things, our problems, our needs that we have learned to cherish. And when God comes to us in Christ and says, "What do you want me to do for you?" the best we can think of is hold on to those things that have become dear to us. They are our precious little things because we've gotten used to them. It is time to give them up. And point number six, exercise your faith. Jesus expressed compassion. But it is obvious if you read especially all three of the Gospels' account of this story that the blind man's faith was what brought about his healing. Jesus gave him what he wanted, but he had to receive it. He could have said, no, I just want your touch. I just want to hear you speak to me. But no, the blind man said, "I want to see." Now, do you understand? Think with me for a moment, because I want to make sure I'm clear. The blind man had gotten used to his life. Imagine with me like it what it was like. Every morning he got up, and his wife would fix him maybe a bowl of rice or a bowl of grain to eat for breakfast. He would drink some water or perhaps some sour milk. And thereafter, his friends would come at his house and knock on the door, and he was ready. And they would help him get out to the main road in Jericho so that as the crowds would pass, he would be able to find sustenance in his cup, begging for alms. That was his day. Somewhere in the midst of the day, perhaps his wife would bring him another bowl of rice, something to eat to sustain him. And at the end of the day, his friends would come back from their jobs in the field or wherever they worked, and they would help him to get home, and he would rest for the evening. He was out in the sun, out in the rain, out in whatever the weather was, because that was his job. And on this particular occasion, he knew what time of year it was. The crowds were greater. There was more bustling in the city. People were on the way to Jerusalem, and this was his money-making time of year. And so he was out on the street, and he probably said many days to himself, "God, is this all there is?" But he had gotten used to his life. You know what? I swore to myself when I was younger that I would not be some old guy stuck in my ways. And I'm starting to be like an old guy stuck in my ways. Can I get a word of testimony here? Okay. We're companions in misery. So, I have gotten used to life the way I want it. And although I know I want to have some changes, I want to make some adjustments in my life, I want to end well, you know, whatever number of years I have left to serve God and to live and be with my family, I want to end well. But I will tell you honestly, some of us have gotten so used to our life that when Jesus wants to give us something greater and more, I'd have to get up earlier. The blind man would have to change his life. Good grief, if he could see, he's going to have to get a job. He may have to be trained, because if he's been blind from birth, he's going to have to learn how to do something. Are you with me? You understand what I'm talking about? His life is going to have to change. And if we think we can come to Jesus and say, "Give me all you got," and then life is going to stay like it is, you got a wake-up call coming. Because life will change when Jesus blesses you. To those he gives much, he expects much. Your life may change. Are you man enough for it or woman enough for it today to really take on what Jesus might bring you if he would answer your prayer? This man trusted in Jesus, but he could not see him. His faith was more than just believing that Jesus could heal him. He believed in Jesus, indicated by several things. One, he cried out, "Son of David." After he was healed, he followed Jesus, and after he was following Jesus, he led the crowd in praising God. This man's life had changed, my friend. And the word "heal" there, I think this is significant. Because of the context, we translate it as "healed" in the English. But back to the original root of the word, you know what it means? It means saved. saved. Everybody else got in on the act too, because it says the whole crowd was praising God. When he believed, they praised God. So I want to ask you this. Do you realize that when Jesus answers your need, when he provides for your want, when he answers that which is your biggest problem, do you realize that the church will be blessed? Your neighborhood would be blessed. People around you will be praising God when God answers your need. Don't be embarrassed to come to God in your need. When God heals us, the rest of the world praises God. You don't know, maybe your neighbors have been longing for you to have a better attitude. And when you come to Jesus and he removes that from you, the world is thanking God that Jesus acted on your behalf. Are you with me? When you get healed, your family's going to be praising God. Why does God allow us to have these needs and problems? Maybe there's several reasons, but one of them is this. When he acts on our behalf and answers our need, he receives glory because he is acting for his children. Now, because of this miracle, the crowd and the disciples now know beyond any doubt that this rabbi who was entering Jerusalem came from the source of God, and the extent of his authority was that God gave him all authority. Now, not everybody in this room today can see. Look at me. Just because you got eyeballs and you can look it this way does not mean you can see. Now, your eyes work fine. You didn't come in with a white cane. No seeing eye dogs in the crowd. No person assisted you here. But there are those among us who simply cannot see. Even though I stand up here and work up a sweat and holler and I'm passionate about what the scripture teaches, some of you will say, I don't believe a word of it. Because they cannot see the truth of God's love and his plan for their life. Some people say there is no one so blind as he who will not see. What did this blind man need to realize? These two things. Jesus did come to heal, but not only to heal. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And in my older age, I remember the first time that I went to Taco Bell and they gave me the senior citizen discount. I was furious. But in my older age, one thing I've learned is this, that the obvious problem is not always the real problem. And sometimes when I bring what I say I need to God and he answers me, he gives me more than I thought I really wanted. And with this blind man, Jesus did not come to walk the streets of Jericho to heal people who were blind. Oh yes, he did that out of his mercy and his compassion. But he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so Luke makes sure that we don't miss it. We're going to be reading Luke in a few weeks. When you get to the chapter about Zacchaeus, you'll remember this. That Jesus did not come just to heal somebody. He came to look up in the tree and say, I'm going to your house today because the Son of Man, the Son of David, the Savior of the world, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I have learned from your word as we've studied it and read it these last few weeks. I have learned that you have come to answer our deepest need, but even more than that, to answer the need we don't think we have until you reveal it to us. And Father, I know today that the people in this room, most of them would claim that they know Jesus as their Savior. Maybe for years they've been following Jesus. So what good is this message unless you would awaken within us a deeper need that we have, not greater than our need for salvation, but something that's troubling us, something's bigger than we can handle. Would you encourage us? Would you spur us on? Would you light a fire under us and make us willing to come to you and call out to you and say, Lord, I have tried everything else. I need you. I need you. Honor that kind of faith, I pray, as the Savior, as the Son of David, Messiah, we come. Amen. Would you stand together as we